Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
One. Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with us is TJ Inman. And we're here to preview Indiana's trip to the Outback Bowl. In case you don't know, the Indiana Hoosiers earned a trip to the Outback Bowl against the Ole Miss Rebels. The game is being played in Tampa, Florida on January 2nd at 12:30 in the afternoon. It will be televised on ABC. Fans can listen to it on the radio, on IU Radio Network. And I assume it will be on Sirius XM as well as some national channels. Ole Miss is coming in at 4-5. They have a lot of injury problems, which we'll talk about. Injury and COVID issues, and we'll break down the game, break down Ole Miss, give our keys to the game, what matchups to watch, predictions, and what this bowl game means to Indiana. I know we got into that last week, TJ. But before we kick off, let's get a word from our sponsors over at Bet Online. Football is in full effect with many teams strutting their stuff. You might not be at a game this year, but you could still be in on all the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you could get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your sportsbook experts. So, TJ, we set the scene. What are your initial thoughts of the Outback Bowl?
I think that we talked about this a little on our last podcast. Like, it's important to kind of attempt to separate the disappointment of, you know, not getting into that New Year's Six Bowl, or even, you know, not getting in the Citrus Bowl, to separate that from, you know, the Outback Bowl. Is not a bad game at all. It's a terrific bowl game with a, you know, very good time slot for exposure for the Hoosiers. It's a back-to-back Florida bowl game, back-to-back, you know, New Year's Day game, if you will. This one's on the 2nd, but still back-to-back January bowl games, I guess, to be fair. It's a big deal for the program, and it's a really good opportunity. The first thing that jumped out to me was, wow, you know, Indiana really should win this bowl game. Against Tennessee, it felt like a true toss-up. Last year in the Gator Bowl, you know, Tennessee was playing very well at the time and had some momentum. And for Indiana now, they come in as heavy favorites. Right now, the line is at 7.5 or 8, depending on the sports book you're looking at. The biggest question really is going to be who takes the field for both teams. Ole Miss, some very well-publicized opt-outs, some very well-publicized injuries or COVID issues. We don't know who's going to be available for the Rebels. We expect Indiana to be at pretty close to full strength, I think, is the expectation, outside of course, you know, Michael Penix. There will, I'm sure, be some other guys that are unable to play for multiple reasons, whether it's COVID, you know, maybe there's some team rule stuff. We don't know about any of it, but after a long layoff, it wouldn't be shocking. Could have some guys get injured in practice, but as of right now, the Hoosiers should be relatively full strength. And if that's the case, it's an Ole Miss team that's 4-5 that you really should be looking at a chance to get a bowl game victory. And to win the Outback Bowl is a big deal for the program.
Yeah, and it's Tom Allen said today during his press conference, they're pretty close to full strength. They're waiting on a couple of guys and should find out tomorrow, which probably means they're in the COVID protocol and things like that. Indiana hasn't played in about a month, which you get to that point, and usually bowl games, it's about a month off. Now you're getting to the point where it's, is it rest versus rust? Rest might have been important coming off of the 7 straight Big Ten games. You had a lot of guys who were kind of banged up, who you gave them a chance to get fully healthy and, you know, back into the groove of things. We don't know which players had COVID, but it seems like everybody's going to be back and available. There haven't been any opt-outs that we know of or have been announced. And it seems maybe this is just, you know, being used to having Tom Allen at press conferences, but it seems Indiana's much more interested in this game than Ole Miss. And I know Lane Kiffin's shtick is to be as bland and boring with the media as possible, but watching his last two press conferences, I mean, it looks like he's taking a nap up there and, you know, is discouraged and all that stuff, but that's reading a lot into it. Ole Miss will be out without Elijah Moore, who is a Biletnikoff finalist. He is an outstanding receiver. The casual college football fan probably knows him from his Egg Bowl faux pas on a penalty that cost Ole Miss the Egg Bowl in 2019 when he pretended to pee in the end zone like a dog. They're without their leading tight end. They're freshman, freshman running back is banged up, and Kiffin he hasn't practiced yet, and it's Monday before the bowl game. So if you're not practicing Monday before the bowl game, it's probably you're not going to be available. They're dealing with COVID issues. Lane Kiffin has no idea what the numbers are. He just hasn't looked at them, it seems. So you get the feeling, that's why I get the feeling like they're just not interested in this game. But it's a chance. I mean, Ole Miss hasn't been to a bowl game since 2015. They were on probation for a little while and had to miss bowl games. They've been down in terms of production as well. But, you know, it's you can only control – IU can only control what they can control. And they're in the Outback Bowl, which is a prestigious bowl. In the grand scheme of things, last year this game featured, was it Auburn, Minnesota, or was it Alabama, Alabama, Michigan? But, you know, some big-time games and big-time teams have happened in this bowl. My best memory is the Iowa Hail Mary against LSU with no time left on the clock with Drew Tate. I think that was 2005. But it's a good bowl, and you know, Indiana has a lot to prove. They're on a 5-game bowl losing streak, and you know, we don't want to talk about the Gator Bowl all that much from last year, but it's 366 days. You know, it was a leap year. It's exactly a year removed from the Gator Bowl, and IU has a lot of demons to exercise, and they've done a lot of exorcisms this year, but this is just another one on the list, and I'll have an article out on that coming up shortly. But what's bowl history wise, this has a lot of meaning for Indiana. You could end a bowl losing streak and get your first bowl win since 1991. Is that a fair sentiment on why Indiana seems a little bit more jacked up about this game than Ole Miss?
I think there's two reasons. I think the first is that Indiana had a really good season. Went 6-1, have a feeling within the program that they are disrespected. So they feel like there's, you know, plenty to go out and prove to people that they deserve more than what they were given, that they earned more than what the outcome was from the committee. So I think there's that, whereas Ole Miss, 4-5, they kind of limp into it after a game against Texas A&M's canceled, and then they lose the shootout to LSU. So I think that's the first part of it. The second is, I do think that there's, from a historical context, there's no no reason to, you know, gloss over or to ignore that Indiana historically just hasn't had much to hang their hats on in terms of accomplishment as a football program. Ole Miss, while they're not the most decorated of programs, they certainly have more of a football history than IU does. So I think it's understandable to say that this game means more to the Hoosiers. You know, I think the term of or the idea of momentum from a bowl game or bowl momentum, look, that only goes as far as the first drive in the next season. It can make you feel good during the off season. Does it have any real impact on that next season? Not necessarily, but I think it's important for Indiana as we look to next year with what we hope will be a really good Indiana team once again. It's important for IU to have a starting point that would allow them to get a New Year's Six Bowl out of next season if they perform well on the field. They were left out this year, and I think part of it was because the brand of Indiana football is not respected.
Yep.
If you can finish 7-1, finish in the top 10 in polls, and have an Outback Bowl victory in your ledger, if you will, I think that there's – and then you return a whole bunch of experience and add a good recruiting class to it, add a bunch of big names that people will now know, you know, some All-Americans like Micah McFadden and Ty Freifogel. I think that you begin to build that brand recognition that allows you to maybe start near the top 10 in the country and not have to have a bunch of crazy things happen for you to get – your just rewards at the end of the season. So I think it's important for IU to not fall on their face in this bowl game, get that bowl victory, bowl losing streak monkey off your back, get that out of the way, win a January bowl game, win an Outback Bowl. And ultimately, 10 years from now, when people look in the, you know, the record books, they're just going to see Outback Bowl 2020 win or loss. It's not going to say, well, Ole Miss, you know, they were only 4-5 that year and, you know, weren't all that interested in it. Well, nobody's going to care. Nobody is going to care. Even 2 weeks from now, nobody's going to care. It's just going to be, did you win or did you lose? I think for Indiana, that's all it is on January 2nd is, did you accomplish what you set out to at the start of the year? Did you break that bowl losing streak? Did you get a bowl victory? Tom Allen said it in his press conference after getting announced that they were going to the Outback Bowl. Winning a bowl game is a very big deal for him personally and for this program. And I believe him when he says that. And I think it's important for the fans, too. I know it is for me. Then Indiana is able to go to a bowl game and win it and be able to finish the season on a high note. The type of season they've had does not deserve an ending in, you know, a canceled bucket game, another canceled bucket game, a disappointing, you know, selection Sunday, if you will, that sees IU get dropped below some teams that we feel like they should be ahead of, and then have a bowl game that they go out and, you know, have poor showing and lose to a, you know, Ole Miss team that really has no business beating them. This season that we've seen deserves better than that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, in terms of bowl momentum, it helps in recruiting. Now, look, it's recruiting has been, I mean, kind of dead in the water in terms of getting guys on campus and things like that, and who knows when that'll start back up. It's a dead period until at least April, I think. But again, it's building your brand. You can now, you know, if Indiana goes and wins the bowl game, you could go sell your season tickets with, hey, Outback Bowl champions. It's another trophy to parade in front of your alumni, donors, and those things. And, you know, maybe this kicks off the, you know, putting something up for, you know, bowl games or bowl wins in the stadium that's visible to fans on that south side, because there's room to do that there and, you know, maybe commemorate those bowl teams and things like that. So, you know, bowl momentum, you're right. It ends on that first drive of next year. And you, case in point was Tennessee. Tennessee was everybody's like, this is going to be a top 10 team next year. And, you know, the question I always ask is, would you rather have won the Gator Bowl and had Tennessee's 2020 or lose like IU did and have IU's 2020? Now, if you lose the Outback Bowl, it's, you know, it'll stink, but you're still 6-2 and you've checked off some of those accomplishments that Tom Allen wanted to get checked off. Did he accomplish everything that he wanted? No, but you're still going down the list and checking things off. You know, Indiana did have two players named to the AP All-American team today as well. TJ, you mentioned Micah McFadden on defense, Ty Freifogel on offense. He was also the Big Ten's wide receiver of the year. They were both named all Big Ten, third team All-American by the Associated Press today. And, you know, all those things we talk about building the brand of Indiana football, all those things help. And things like that. So let's get down to breaking the game, TJ. But first, another word from our folks over at Bet Online. Football is in full effect, although not for much longer as the playoffs and bowl games start to get going. With many teams strutting their stuff, you might not be at a game this year, but you could still be in on the action at Bet Online. Bet Online is going the extra mile to make sure you could get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props. Bet Online gives you more options to wager than any place online. Head over to Bet Online today and use promo code Armchair to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. So, TJ, let's get into this. We mentioned Ole Miss is coming in at 4-5. They're third in the SEC in points scored. They're also, I think, last in scoring defense in the conference as well, giving up over 40 points a game, scoring 40 points a game. So, you know, what is Ole Miss going to look like? And I know it's a tough question because – who knows who's going to be out there? But what are some keys to the game for Indiana to come out on top against Ole Miss?
Well, I think you're right. It's an impossible question to answer specifically with, you know, regards to certain players. But I think what we can safely say is this is a very talented offensive team. Even without some key individuals, they're going to field a good offense. I feel confident in saying that. It'll be a challenge for IU's defense. I mean, you look at early in the season, they put up 35 against Florida, 42 in a win over Kentucky, 48 against Alabama, 54 against Vanderbilt, 59 against South Carolina, and then 48 in a loss to LSU. I mean, those are really good performances. Some of those are good defenses that they're doing that against. So I think it's going to be a challenge for IU's defense and a chance, I think, for the Hoosiers defense to show, look, we can do this against really good offenses too. You know, we can be an elite defense against good attacks. And, you know, I think that's something that stands out immediately as kind of a matchup to watch would be just, you know, very 1,000 feet Ole Miss explosive offense against IU's defense. I do think that what you're looking for from an Indiana perspective is what can IU's offense led by Jack Tuttle, which we don't know what next year is going to look like at the quarterback position. Michael Penix had a very serious surgery that, you know, I have no doubt that he's going to work as hard as possible to get himself ready, but you know, it's very possible that Jack Tuttle is the starting quarterback for the Hoosiers when the season kicks off next year in Iowa City. So what can this IU offense do against a defense that, to be frank, was pretty terrible all season? I think that you're looking for explosive plays, but I think you're looking for consistent drives from the Hoosiers We only saw Jack Tuttle against Wisconsin. He was really good, really good. But you do want to see how he will perform when the offense is going to need to produce, because Ole Miss, kind of the opposite of Wisconsin, if you will, they've got an explosive offense, a terrible defense. It should be an opportunity for Jack Tuttle to, you know, show what he can do. And I'm looking forward to seeing that. You know, I think that one thing that Lane Kiffin will certainly try to do is create explosive plays. So the Indiana secondary is going to have to, you know, bring their A game to limit those explosive plays. I think the IU pass rush, however they get that, whether it's through the defensive front or through blitz packages, the IU defensive front getting that pressure is going to be key, because if you allow, if it's Matt Corral or somebody else, whoever's playing at quarterback, if you allow a Lane Kiffin offense time in a clean pocket, you're probably going to have a bad day on defense. Yeah. So getting that pressure against whoever it is, I think it's going to be a key. And then, as has been the case all season, you know, creating those turnovers, getting those takeaways has been a key for this Indiana defense. That's going to continue to be the case. If you can get into good position on the field against the Ole Miss defense, you're going to score. You're going to score a lot because, as we said, it's not a good defense. And if you can put your offense into advantageous positions on top of that, you set yourself up for a really good day.
Yeah, and that's the 30,000-foot view on it for, you know, offense. Indiana's it's strength against strength. Indiana's defense against Ole Miss's offense. And we'll see come game time who's out there for Ole Miss and what weapons they have. I think Lane Kiffin said they had 6 scholarship wide receivers available, which seems like a lot. You know, for a team that's pretty banged up. But, yeah, you know, we'll see. For me, it's, you know, my first key to the game is you have to make the tackles. You cannot let Ole Miss offensive players, no matter if they're the regular starters, the backups, you cannot miss tackles against this team because they are a fast team. One or two missed tackles and they'll take it to the house and things like that. The second key on it's kind of a both offense defense type of thing is red zone efficiency. Anytime you're playing an explosive offense, you're going to need to be efficient in the red zone. And IU has done a pretty good job of it this year on offense of scoring touchdowns instead of kicking field goals. It probably cost Charles Campbell, an all Big Ten spot, you know, first team all Big Ten and maybe kicker of the year, but you'd rather him be kicking extra points than field goals. And then on defense, Indiana's defense in the red zone, I believe is top in the country in red zone efficiency. And that's going to be huge. If you can make Ole Miss, when they're in the red zone, kick field goals instead of scoring touchdowns, they're leaving a lot of points on the field. And an Indiana offense who should be able to score against this defense, that's a big deal. And so you don't really want – yeah, Indiana's allowing 57% of the time opponents to score. On 19 attempts, they've only – opponents have scored 11 times, 9 touchdowns, 2 field goals. So getting those stops – forcing more field goals and touchdowns is going to help. And finally, on the offensive side of the ball, you're going to have to score and take care of the ball. You cannot give Ole Miss extra possessions by turning it over. It's tough to tell what they have in Jack Tuttle in terms of, did they hand him the reins? Playing up at Wisconsin, they had a game plan. He executed it pretty well. He made some big throws when he needed to. If Miles Marshall catches that one pass, it's the numbers look a lot better. But can Jack Tuttle take over a game the way that Indiana might need him to if this gets into a shootout and things like that, which it very well could. with Ole Miss averaging over 40 points per game. The Indiana running game's got to get going as well. And it seems like everybody's been able to run on Ole Miss, pass on Ole Miss, score on Ole Miss, and things like that. How Indiana's going to win this game? Easy. Make the tackles, get the takeaways, basically play the game you've been playing all year. Be sound in the tackling game, get your takeaways, produce off of the takeaways, be efficient in the red zone, and then make some big explosive plays on offense as well, which they did with Michael Penix. And I think it was the Ohio State game where it just seemed once they unleashed Penix, it was they were throwing the ball and they threw for nearly 500 yards. But those third downs didn't matter. Efficiency didn't matter, which is why a lot of these analytics don't really like Indiana. But that's going to be the key to the game is can you be more efficient on offense and defense than Ole Miss is? Because Ole Miss turns the ball over, and I think they turned the ball over five or six times against LSU and still put up, 58 points, 53 points, 48 points? 48. Yeah. Just imagine if they didn't turn the ball over five times. You're looking at a score in the 70s. So it's going to be about efficiency. TJ, what is your – well, you already said your matchup to watch. Do you have an individual matchup to watch?
Well, I mean, we don't really know who's playing, but I do think that Matt Corral is probably the second best quarterback that Indiana's going to face. So I use secondary against Matt Corral, I think would be, a lot of fun, or will be a lot of fun. He's he runs it. He's ran for 469 yards. He threw it for 2,995 with a 71.3% completion rate. Corral's really good. He's a really good player. So I think that'll be quite a challenge. Now, that being said, he threw 14 interceptions. So, that tells you right there, there's going to be opportunities for the IU secondary to make some plays. And so far this season, they've made guys that they give them those opportunities, they made them pay. I think on the other side of the ball, I really am curious to see kind of after these bowl practices, as limited as it may have been due to COVID and the holidays, as limited as things have been, has there been any kind of shift in guys that have stepped up that didn't play much during the regular season? Some younger players that have earned a bit more playing time. I'm interested to see that. And then kind of how the running back carries are divvied out, how that goes. I think Tim Baldwin has earned a look at some more carries, but we'll see how the coaches approach that. And I do think it's one extra kind of note for the defense is, Cade Womack is leaving. He's the South Alabama head coach now. And I think he's incredibly well-liked by the players and the other staff members. I think that he is going to be missed, not irreplaceable by any means. Tom Allen's staying, so I feel good about things. But I know that his players would want to send Kane out with a performance that, they can all be proud of. I think that's important for this defense on top of just winning the game. So that's one more thing to kind of keep an eye out on is, Kane Womack's final game as the defensive coordinator. I think he's had a terrific, terrific season. And obviously wish him the best of luck at South Alabama, but hopefully he's got one more left in him here.
Yeah, and that's another – that's probably my matchup to watch is the coordinators. Because, Lane Kiffin against Kane Womack and then yeah. Nick Sheridan against their defensive coordinator. And because those are the knowns. And you can only base it off of the knowns. I think you want to see Indiana's defense, the 4-2-5 is designed to stop an offense like this. And it's designed to confuse a quarterback. It's designed to create, be aggressive and take and get takeaways and things like that. Matt Corral is a very good quarterback. Indiana has made very good quarterbacks look human this year. Can they do it again? Has Kane Womack's attention shifted to South Alabama? Has it affected preparedness? Is this month off going to help or hurt IU and things like that? And then on offense, like you mentioned, I think the game plan, they're going to play it by ear. You know, after Tim Baldwin had that big game against Maryland, you know, he comes back and didn't play it. I don't think he got any carries against Wisconsin. And it's, you know, it goes, and that was a game where you only had 9 possessions per team, which, you know, you got to pick what style of football you're going to play. Are you going to grind it out like you did against Wisconsin, or are you going to go a little bit more up tempo and test the Ole Miss defense and see if you could score, kind of like what they did in the second half against Ohio State? And it's going to be interesting to see how IU deals with the heat. It's the first, I think it's the first game they're going to be playing like where it's 70 degrees or over. You know, it might rain. It's Florida, so rain's always in the forecast. But it's what style of game, you know, are they going to play? Are they going to try and muck it up? I think Indiana's the more talented team, so you don't really want to do that either. You want your athletes to go play and just be better. But you also don't want to get into a shootout with Matt Corral against Jack Tuttle, just because you don't know what Tuttle brings to the table yet. You know, he's very talented and he did very well against Wisconsin, but he's only played in 8 games, I believe. So it's going to be interesting on what style of play Indiana brings. TJ, prediction time. What's your prediction for the Outback Bowl?
Well, let's just assume that everybody except for the players that have already opted out publicly for Ole Miss are playing. And let's, for our prediction purposes, let's assume that IU has everybody that we expect them to have. So no Mike Penix, but everybody else that we think is out there is going to play. Given those assumptions, I think that Ole Miss will score. However, there is something special about this Indiana defense, and I do think that they're going to give Ole Miss's offense more trouble than what they're used to. I think they're going to spend a lot of time looking at how Arkansas defended them. They held the Rebels to 21 points and took a 33-21 victory, and then Auburn held them to 28 points. I think Indiana's defense is better than both of those units. I'm going to give Ole Miss 24 points. So Ole Miss 24, Indiana, I'm going to go 42. So 42-24, Hoosiers win. I think it will be relatively comfortable. IU exercises the Bowl demons. And I'm going to give Outback Bowl MVP to Jack Tuttle. I really liked what I saw against Wisconsin. I think the Hoosiers coaching staff, you know, now that they've had some time to prepare him for this defense, knowing, yes, you are the guy, here's what we're going to ask of you. I think Tuttle's going to have a really nice day.
Yeah, you hope so. And that's the hope. It's hard to do predictions based on so many unknowns with Ole Miss. But I think, you know, I think it's safe to take the over in this game. Although, as you said, Indiana's defense is probably they put up so many points on Alabama. You know, Alabama definitely has better athletes than Indiana does on defense. But that was kind of like the crap moment for Alabama's defense was Ole Miss just dropped like 42 on you and gave you a scare. And that, you know, got them right up until the Florida game. I think Indiana gets into a semi shootout. I think the run game breaks loose a little bit too, as well as the passing game. I'm going to take Indiana 45, Ole Miss 24. My Outback Bowl MVP is going to be Micah McFadden. in his hometown. I think he's the key for this Indiana defense. As great as the Indiana secondary is, Micah McFadden has come up with big play after big play in the backfield, putting pressure on quarterbacks, forcing them to throw, putting big hits and tackles for losses, and things like that. So I think Indiana does get their takeaways. They cash in on them. Ole Miss will score. They'll score. And they'll score a few times. But I think Indiana is going to take this and end the bowl streak and end the bowl losing streak, start off 2021 on the right foot, and hopefully go into the Iowa opener in September with a lot of momentum and an axe to grind as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. That, that game's going to have, plenty for us to talk about prior to it. No doubt about that. Now, you mentioned Mike McFadden. I guess the last thing I'll ask before we kind of sign off here, just a hypothetical, because we're not going to debate this at the moment, but, Micah McFadden, third team All-American, he will come back as an All-Big Ten, you know, preseason player for 2021 in the heart of this defense, a very good defensive unit we would expect coming back. I think McFadden has a chance to cement himself with another really good season next year as, you know, one of the best handful of linebackers that we've ever had in Bloomington, which is really saying something. I think that'll be, you know, we'll dive into it in the off season and in, you know, preseason coverage. But you think about where he came in as kind of an afterthought to a really good recruiting class and how he immediately jumped in and began contributing and has just continued to progress during his career. It's quite a story for him.
Yeah, and then he was just a tackling machine in high school. I think the knock on him was that he just wasn't athletic enough to play it at the Power 5 level and things like that. But
he did not believe, by the way. He did not believe that knock. He knew he could do this.
Yeah, and he has improved a lot since he's been on campus. And I think the one thing that's the most noticeable that he's improved, it's his speed. It's his closing speed this year. You know, time and time again, it's those 10-yard bursts to make a play behind the line of scrimmage, to hit the hole on a blitz, and things like that. Now, anytime you're a 300-tackle guy in high school, your instincts are going to be great. And there was no questioning his instincts on the football field. But when you can combine great instincts with speed, that's when you get a special player. We'll see what he does with his future. You know, his NFL stock has probably gone up as well, but he might need another year of tape and another year of improvement as well. So it's going to be a very interesting storyline to watch in the offseason is how many of these guys who are eligible to come back end up declaring for the draft and, you know, try and make a little bit of money off of that. There are probably a handful of guys who will do that off the top of my head. You look at WAP, Ty Freifogel, Jerome Johnson, you know, McFadden, Jamar Johnson's had a great year. Like, those guys probably need another year of tape and things like that. And you, as an IU fan, you'd love for them to come back. But they also have to do what's best for them. And if they get feedback from the NFL that says, hey, you're a day one, day two pick, I mean, they're going to pull the trigger and go. But, you know, that's what's nice about getting this free year and getting the year back is, you know, some of these guys that you might have lost to graduation could come back as well. So, yeah, and Mike McFadden's returning home. He's my MVP pick. So he better not disappoint.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good pick. I mean, you're right. He is right in the heart of what this defense is going to be asked to do against Ole Miss. So he's going to have an opportunity for a whole lot of tackles and some sacks and, who knows, maybe a forced fumble or two and maybe a pick. So I think that could certainly end up being the case. And if Mike McFadden ends up being the MVP, It means the Hoosiers have put together an impressive performance on the defensive side of the ball. So I don't think anybody would complain about that.
Yeah, exactly. All right, that does it for tonight's show. We'll be back next Monday to wrap up, hopefully an Outback Bowl win, and get set into the off season, the unknown, and recruiting, spring practice. What's that going to look like? And maybe touch on the 2021 season as well. TJ, thank you for joining us, and I want to wish everybody a happy new year. And January 1st is on Friday. It's coming up, and don't forget to watch IU take on Ole Miss in the Outback Bowl at 12:30 in the afternoon on ABC. So check your local listings, and it'll be broadcast on the IU Radio Network. TJ, happy New Year to you, and thanks for another great year of podcasts and covering Indiana football.
Absolutely. Thanks, everybody, for following along with us. Let's hope it's a victorious start to the new year for the Hoosiers, and we'll cover it either way, but it's a lot more fun for seasons like this.
Yeah, it totally is, and we'll see how long this ride could last, hopefully a while. Anyway, that brings the conclusion of the show. Before we get out of here, a word from our friends over at manscaped.com. If you're looking for Valentine's Day gifts, because that's the next holiday when you have gifts coming around, head over to Manscaped or for the man in your life. So support Hoosier Huddle podcast by shopping at Manscaped. It's the best in men's below the waist grooming, offering precision engineered tools for your family jewels. And they've helped 2 million men all over the world get rid of some hair. And now you could get 20% off and free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. All you have to do is use the code armchair. That does it for our podcast tonight. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Head over to HoosierHuddle.com for all the latest on the bowl game, on the Outback Bowl against Ole Miss, stories and all that stuff. We'll be down there covering it as well. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. Find our Facebook group and have a happy and safe new year. And hopefully 2021 is a lot better than 2020.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.